Good evening, everybody. Hope you guys are enjoying your Christmas season here. I'm sure none of you are watching that stupid 12-12-12 benefit show. Just give your money to Sandy. You don't have to listen to all those blowhards sing their songs. You got to listen to us. We're the only place to be right now tonight. The 12-12-12 show of the Tri-State Sports Guys coming to you live from Norwalk, Connecticut. To my right, I got my co-host, Neil Lynch.
Happy Hanukkah, everyone.
Neil, he gives it to everybody, doesn't he? And then we got to my left, we got a producer back in studio, Tony D.
Yeah, been a long time.
Been a long time. They almost didn't let him in the site. They almost blocked him. They didn't recognize his computer, for Christ's sake. But we're all back in studio, love and life. Big weekend in New York sports. So we're going to start with the New York Football Giants, Neil. Last week we talked about the upcoming game against the Saints and how, you know, we talked about the difficult schedule they have to close out the season, but I wouldn't consider this game a difficult game, judging by the way the Saints have played, and the Saints played exactly like they always play, put up a ton of yards, moved the ball up and down the field, stupid turnovers, the special teams killed them, and that's why the Saints are, you know, the record is what it is. What did you think, what did you make of the game? First take on that football game, Neil.
You know, it's just good to see that the emergence of David Wilson of Waterworks.
Waterworks broke out, man. I will say one thing about Waterworks. All you Giants fans that love, like, we are a class organization. We don't run our mouths. We let the Jets do that. This guy does a backflip every time he scores. All class.
I don't.
Just right in the defender's face.
I don't.
Backflip. I love it.
I
love it, but I mean, just don't try to pretend like the Giants is high and mighty organization when somebody's backflipping in front of your face.
Yeah,
that's not a penalty.
No, I mean, Coughlin's got to talk to him. I mean, I don't approve.
He's gonna cry. How's he gonna break it to him without him crying? I was just trying to do my best.
There's no way you can land that 10 out of 10 times. He's gonna fall. He's gonna hurt
your
himself.
Pads. That's impressive. Yeah. That's Bo Jackson stuff.
Yeah. Which that was on.
I didn't catch it.
I DVR'd it, but the crazy thing, not to get off on a tangent, but the crazy thing about Bo Jackson, we were talking about it.
Everything about
Saturday
him.
Night. Everything about him. A, B, as he in my mind, greatest athlete of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a 1,000-yard rushing season. And only hit 30 home runs once in his career.
Yeah.
That's what blows my mind. We think of him as the greatest athlete, but those are the two measuring sticks that we use.
Well,
at least in my mind, for football players, baseball players, it's like, have you rushed for 1,000 yards, and have you hit over 30 home runs a whole bunch of times?
He's going to be one of those guys, clearly, that our kids, we're going to tell our kids, oh, Bo Jackson is the best athlete I've ever seen, and they're going to look it up and be like I look at Joe Namath, and you're going to be like, Dad, shut up about Bo Jackson. The guy played 4 seasons, he never rushed for 1,000 yards.
We were saying, like, you know that campaign, Bo knows this, Bo knows that, you know, and I was like, well, Bo doesn't know fantasy. Bo Jackson's on your fantasy team, he's not getting you a lot of points.
Oh, he burned a lot of fantasy teams in the late 80s. Those prodigies.
With Manish. What's his name? Manish? The Jets?
Manish Mehta?
Manish Mehta, yeah, he probably had him on his fantasy team.
Okay,
but getting back to the, one last thing on Bo Jackson.
Let's just do 90 minutes.
I really could.
And O will call in. That's his favorite player.
Apparently, after the injury. Oh, I got two more things about Bo Jackson. I'm sorry. I just love the guy. So first thing about Bo Jackson. Apparently, the day he got hurt, playoff game against the Bengals, he got tackled. George Brett, who was his teammate on the Royals at the time, goes down to the trainer for the Raiders and goes, you know, what's the scoop? What happened to Bo? And the trainer goes, Bo tells me that he dislocated his hip, but that he was able to put it back into place, but that's impossible. No one's that strong.
Yeah. Bo did it.
Second, and my last point about Bo Jackson, after the hip injury, he comes back. In 1994, he played semi-professional basketball.
Of course he did. Of course he did. And Ron and Fez, my favorite show on the radio, they had a clip of him bow hunting. He actually is a huge bow hunter. He used to, like, fire bows in the clubhouse, bow and arrows. And he hunted down this little doe and shot it. And he was, like, in tears. He was so happy. He goes, we know we're having lunch today. Which I just find fantastic. Our phone lines are already blowing up. We got somebody on the line. Who is this we got on the line here? We're on with the Tri-State Sports Guys.
Hey, guys. This is Mike on the cell. How are you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great, Mike. How are you doing?
pretty good, guys. What I want to talk about, I've been watching in the NBA for about 30 years. Been watching Carmelo Anthony, Stoudemire, J.R. Smith, and I just have one thing to say. The Knicks are frauds. They're the media darlings right now. Everybody loves them. They're the popular team to jump on. But I know these guys' true identities when it matters most, and that's playoff times. Anthony, Stoudemire, J.R. Smith do not play championship-level defense. I do not care if they go in as the number one seed. It means absolutely nothing. In the playoffs, in a seven-game series, guys, they cannot match up with Miami. They cannot match up with Boston. I am just sick and tired of hearing all this Knicks talks, how great they are on ESPN and everywhere else, when I know their true colors.
Mike, you're my new favorite caller of the Tri-State Sports Guys. I'm a big Nets fan, and I can't stand hearing the Knicks hype either. And when you watch them play, and I've watched a lot of the Knicks, they're so reliant on that three ball. Look, they're not going to shoot the three at the rate they're shooting. I completely agree with you. Carmelo, he's never won a playoff series. And then J.R. Smith, you know, he's John Starks minus, you know, the clutch performances. The guy will blow it up for a night, and then he'll go out and shoot one for 15. And Amari, to me, is a non-factor on that team. So I agree with you, and I think you and I are in the minority, Mike.
Yeah, I believe two things they have going for them is Chandler in the middle and Jason Kidd. But everyone's hyping up Jason Kidd like a 39-year-old point guard that shoots threes is going to be able to do something in the playoffs. Yeah, he's going to hit big shots, but he's not going to be the difference maker. The difference maker has to be your best player, which is Carmelo Anthony, and you said it exactly right. He's never done anything in the playoffs. You put him up against LeBron James, he will wilt. He cannot play defense. He's never done it. And I know the coach, they're talking about how they got a new defensive system. Well, you never change. After 9 years in the league, you know, you're not going to change and be a defensive stopper when it matters most. And that's about all I have, guys.
Oh, well, I appreciate the call, Mike. Thanks, and keep tuning
Thank
in.
Thank you.
But, you know, we're going to get to the NBA in a little bit. We might as well talk about the Knicks now while we're on the subject. We'll get back to the Giants. But, you know, I'm watching the Knicks-Net game last night. Devastating loss for my Nets. But and Carmelo was unbelievable. And he seems to step up his game against Brooklyn. You know, his two highest-scoring games this season have come against the Nets. But you look at the Knicks team, I love Chandler that and the hustle that he gives them, and he gives them so many second-chance opportunities over and over again. But you know, you look at Jason Kidd. I watched him for so many years with the Nets. He never could shoot the three. Now, all of a sudden, he doesn't miss. And I think he's right. You get to the playoffs, you get a guy like Rajon Rondo covering Jason Kidd, he'll be a non-factor.
Yeah, I think teams step up their defense in the playoffs. I think it, you know, it's one of those situations where in the regular season, teams – kind of are lax on defense. I know the Lakers are catching a lot of heat for, you know, their subpar defense, and they're actually practicing defense during, you
know. Where they're giving up 113 a game, I believe, under D'Antoni. I don't think that's a fake stat. I think I heard 113 a game.
Yeah, so I do agree with Mike on that. Mike the caller, not Mike, and Mike the host, that teams – step up their defense and the playoffs. But, you know, at the same time, you can't tell me that a one seed is not going to matter, that them getting the one seed is not going to matter. I mean, that's going to, you know, I don't know. If anything, I think the age is going to play a factor down the stretch because
yeah, you're looking at
it's a long season, guys.
You got four guys that play in their – well, three of them definitely play in their current rotation that have been in the league 15-plus years. You know – Rasheed Wallace has been unbelievable. The guy's out of basketball 2 years.
Yeah.
He comes in and he's hitting threes, getting big rebounds, blocking shots.
Getting ejected.
Still has that weird ringworm going. It didn't go away. He didn't find a cure for that in those 2 years. So, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a Nick hater, which I am.
Hey, you got to embrace who you are, Michael.
I do. I know it. But I don't want to feel like that's just clouding my judgment of the Knicks.
Yeah.
I watched that game last night. The Nets couldn't hit a three-pointer.
Yeah.
The Nets were shooting 60% from the field through three quarters, and they were only up 4 points. And it's because the Knicks are getting their buckets behind the arc. And, you know, nobody can keep up that kind of pace. Everybody on their team is shooting 45% from behind the arc. It's amazing. And so you look at that, and you're like, how could you really keep that up? This is not college basketball where you could just hoist up – you know, it's not Duke. You could just hoist up these threes and ride it to a national championship.
So you're in the camp that Melo can't just flip the switch and he can't just become this leader.
I just find it amazing that he did.
Yeah.
And now when they ask him after the game, he says, "Well, I'm just completely focused. We haven't been focused for 9 years, Melo."
There's something that happened at the Olympics.
I'm coming home. It just plays in his head every time he got the ball.
You don't think? I mean, did you watch the basketball at all during the
Olympics? Only women.
Yeah.
Only the female basketball. No, I watched it. Yeah, and he was unbelievable.
And he was great then. And I think something must have happened when he went over there that just changed his perspective on things. You know, maybe it's hanging out with LeBron and Kobe, and maybe it wore off. You know, I don't know. All I know is he seems like a different player now. Maybe because he's getting what he wants, because he has the people that he wants around him. He doesn't worry about Jeremy Lin anymore. You know, and other people are believe in it. You know, he has people like Jason Kidd coming in and Rasheed Wallace and veterans that it's like everyone's buying into the concept that this is Melo's team and he's got to lead.
And I honestly do think when Stoudemire comes back, he is going to be more of a role player. I don't see him giving more than 12 to 14 a game.
Yeah.
I just think if they do, it's a mistake.
But it'll be 10, 12 really good minutes.
It's going to come. It's going to come at the expense of somebody.
Right.
And it's going to be an impact player that's going to come at the expense of. It's going to be Rasheed Wallace, who's been very good.
Yeah.
I don't know that you're going to expect Amari to come in and be much better than Rasheed has been. He's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it'll be, I think at best, kind of a net wash, to be honest with you. I mean, it's always good to have another body that can get in the rotation. But I don't think it's going to be that impactful to have him come back. You know, I don't know. I just, in what I think is going to be the test for the Knicks is going to be when they have that one run, which happens in every NBA season, where they lose 5 of 6, go on some run like that. Then we'll see how really a team these guys are. And right now they're playing like a team, unselfish
basketball. At home.
They're unbelievable, and I just wonder what that'll be like when they will go on that run. Nobody doesn't go on that kind of run where they have some kind of lull come January or February. Are they going to be able to rally the troops? And then you'll see if Melo's for real this year.
Yeah. When the chips are stacked against them.
And they start fading away from that one seed. I do think at the end of the day they're going to be the 2 seed. I think they'll have a better record than the Celtics, but I do think that'll be a tough matchup. Obviously, anything short of a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals is a failure for the Knicks at this point.
Oh, yeah.
With the expectations for the last 2 seasons and then what they've done so far, the bar is set really high. And I think that Knicks fans and look, if I'm a Knicks fan, I have every right to think that I'm going to be, Eastern Conference champions, to be honest with you. But, you know, the Eastern Conference has got some talent towards the top, but every team's got flaws in there. So, you know, they got a good chance, Danny, but I'm all with Mike and his disdain for the New York Knicks and the love that they're getting everywhere. But let's get back to the Giants for a minute. Now, you were talking about Waterworks, how he came in.
It's good to see, yeah.
And I mentioned to you in an email, but I honestly think when Eli threw that pick six, after he had another pick, which probably wouldn't have picked six, that the guy dropped, and he throws the pick six, and you're like, well, boy, now you're in trouble because the Saints are not a team you want to fall behind on. To me, that play, that kick return for a touchdown, is this season's Victor Cruz 99-yard touchdown because it really just took the wind out of the sails of the Saints and took the game back. And then and then from then on, the Giants really just dominated that game. I really think it was that type of definitive play for the Giants.
I agree. I turned to my buddy. I was visiting a friend in Red Bank, and I turned to him after the pick six, and I said, it's going to be that kind of game, huh? Where you can tell right away that Eli's just off. He didn't get a good night's sleep or, you know, he got scolded by mom or something like that. And he comes out and he plays like a halfwit. And then, you know, for that touchdown return, humongous. Because you don't have to put Eli, who's in a fragile state of mind apparently, back on the field and have him hand the ball off or continue to throw like he was. So... definitely huge momentum for them. Changer.
He just looks so fast.
He does. And the thing is, that wasn't like a great playing surface. It was raining the entire time. So.
And yet he just looked like a man amongst boys on that kick return. And really all game, he was just so fast.
And the big knock on him was, can he run up the gut? Can he run between the tackles? Can he take the punishment? And he proved it this week.
Yeah. He did decent pass blocking the couple times that he was asked to do it.
Yeah. But I still, you know, when I found out, I was telling Tony D before we came in, I was wondering what the situation is with Brandon Jacobs in San Francisco because he got suspended.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if, like, the Giants could have swooped in and just signed him for the rest of the season because I feel like they just need someone else to.
Yeah. Well, especially Bradshaw's injured.
Yeah.
You know, they do need a third back there for sure.
Yeah. And so, you know, Black Unicorn appears to be coming around and, you know, they're starting to look like they're clicking. And I was hoping for a blowout, and I got one. I got an early Christmas gift. It was nice.
Yeah, it was pretty nice to see that, especially after the way the 1 o'clock games unfolded.
Oh.
We had two come-from-behind wins from the two teams chasing you in really dramatic fashion. And I watched the entire fourth quarter of that Dallas game, and it was I had a feeling. I just had a hunch that the Dallas was going to come back and win that game. And they did just enough to win.
Yeah, because the Bengals had multiple opportunities and didn't take advantage.
Everything was a field goal.
A.J. Green dropped a sure touchdown pass.
Oh, yeah, my fantasy team cost me a playoff win. Thanks, A.J. Thanks, Age.
And, you know, that hit, what is it, Reggie Nelson on Dez Bryant, where he separated Bryant from the ball as clean as a hit could be, and they throw a 50.
Well, there's no longer clean hits on a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Let's just be honest about it, because it's ridiculous that at this point, I mean, even when you get Chris Collinsworth admitting that it's not fair, and as a wide receiver, it's like it's becoming a joke that you can't, I mean, you can't ask these guys to just not hit the guy. And then and one of the announcers, I think it was in that game, the announcer says, well, you have to allow the guy to catch the ball
before you make it. Brian Billick.
You have to allow him to catch the ball
before
you can hit him. Like, what are you talking about, dude?
I think he was being sarcastic.
A little tongue-in-cheek.
A little tongue placed firmly in cheek. And, you know, you could tell that the Cowboys are going to pull it off. And it stinks because the Bengals really had that game. And they were playing well. Law firm was running well.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of drop passes, a bunch of ill-advised throws from the Red Rocket, whatever they call them. And then, you know, the Redskins game, I didn't know that RG3 was hurt because there were no, like, look-ins or anything like that until late. But I didn't know that. And now that Kirk Cousins draft pick is, like, looking like
genius. Yeah, when everybody's like, well,
genius.
And another quarterback in the fourth round. The play where RG3 got hurt looked just disgusting. Have you seen the replay?
I don't.
It bent completely the wrong.
The guy's practicing today.
The guy came back in the game. The guy came back into the game and played, which is just amazing. And then he has to come out when he literally couldn't walk anymore. And Cousins comes in, makes plays. They're saying that he audibilized that draw play on the two-point conversion.
Yeah.
To do that, which is just, I mean, balls the size of who knows what, to be able to come in not playing a stick and a snap all year and just saying, don't worry, guys. The guy called this, but I got this. Don't worry about it. Shanahan called this. I know what I'm doing. Her Cousins, for Pete's sake. So he comes in, makes a great play call. It gets in for the two-point conversion. It was just an amazing win, but you wonder now, like, even if RG3 practiced again today, so he's ready, you know.
Well, Pierre Garçon said that Kirk Cousins is starting. And it's like, well, do you want to take a banged up RG3 and risk, you know, further injury, you know, because when you've got a tweak on you, you play differently. You don't play like your normal self, and then you end up hurting yourself more because you're playing differently. I think they, you know, and I'm a Giants fan, so go with Cousins.
Well, yeah, but I'm even saying even if RG3 plays, he's clearly not going to have the same explosion that he usually does. Now, plenty of people, experts even say he can be a pocket passer.
Yeah.
Which I believe. You watched him, how accurate he is. He's unbelievably accurate, very safe with the football.
But my take on that is the reason he's accurate is because there's that threat of the option.
I agree with you.
And when you take away the threat of that pistol triple option or whatever, and you're just asking him to throw and sit in the pocket, I don't know. We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, well, nobody knows. I'm not saying he can't do it. But you haven't seen him. Nobody's been able to watch him play without that aspect of his game. You know, they get to go to Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's a weird team in that they play some pretty tough games. I mean, I think they're 4-8, or maybe 5-8, and they played a lot of close games. They're not a pushover team by any stretch. So to go into Cleveland this week. Vegas has the line off right now. I think they're waiting to hear what the verdict is on RG3, but yeah. I don't think that's going to be a huge spread. I mean, I think it's going to be a field goal at most.
Yeah.
So that's a tough game for Washington, regardless of who's in at quarterback, whether it's a slightly injured RG3 or whatever, or Kirk Cousins. And I think that, you know, why I'm bringing it up is, I mean, it kind of bodes well for the Giants' chances. I think the Giants have a very tough matchup this week. But when you look at the Skins, they got to go to Cleveland, go to Philly, and then they got the Dallas game.
I honestly think they're going to sweep. I mean,
I think they're going to sweep.
And
if they go out and sweep, then the Giants, I think the Giants are going to lose a game here in the last.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Giants have to win out, too, if they want to get the division. Because, you know, if they end up with the same record as Washington, they're losing that tiebreaker. They're definitely losing that tiebreaker. And you look at the Cowboys, Dez Bryant is now, he's donezo.
Well, no, he's saying he wants to play through it.
Okay.
But I don't.
He better play through it. He better win, win some people around.
Yeah. He says he wants to play through it. Whether, you know, what you. If you got a broken finger, whatever he's got wrong with his finger.
I mean, it's like you don't need your finger to catch balls, right?
Yeah. All he's a receiver. All he's got to do is get one-on-one coverage, and they'll call a pass interference or an illegal hit. Just throw it up to him. But, you know, the Cowboys got home against Pittsburgh. Home to the Cowboys means nothing because they never win at home.
Yeah.
But the Steelers are, a bizarre team. Everybody in the world thought that they were, going to walk all over San Diego this week and at home with Big Ben back, and they got destroyed. So they get to play Pittsburgh at home, they get to play New Orleans at home, and then they're at Washington. I mean, at best, they're going to go 2-1 there, I think. At best, I don't think. I think they're going to go 1-1 in their next two games, and I think Washington does the same. So one of those two teams is going to go 2-1.
Nah, I'm like so supremely confident Washington is going to sweep. They have so much momentum. I mean, they took it to the Ravens. They look good against the Giants. I just don't see them backing down and letting down now. Unless they have a humongous injury that comes up, outside of the existing injury with RG3, I don't see them letting down. You know, and with the Giants, I mean, this will be a huge test for the Falcons.
Huge test, but they always play well at home. Matty Ice's stats at home are astronomically higher than they are on the road. They're always good down there. They're coming off, a bad loss to a team that they almost lost, so they basically lucked out a win with a 99-yard drive with a minute and something to go the first time they played the Panthers.
Yeah.
They've had a lot of those close scares. Finally, they got burned, weren't able to come back, and I don't know.
Well,
I think
Newton looks like the Cam Newton of old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he pulled off that long run, and he just looked like...
Hit 45 fantasy points against me. He also knocked me out of the playoffs. Jackass.
You had a lovely little Sunday, didn't you?
Oh, 0-2 in the playoffs. Two dominant teams, dominated throughout the season. Knocked out. Obviously.
Teams that dominate throughout the year, they don't win in a playoff.
Never. Never, ever.
You're like the 2011 Packers of this year.
Yeah, I just choke. I don't know how to coach in the playoffs. Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah.
But they got... I think, the spread in that game is only 1 point for the Falcons. So it's basically a pick'em game, which somewhat surprises me. It really shows that Vegas really likes the Giants. When you look at the Atlanta's record at home over the last several seasons, and you look at their record, I think that I think what Vegas is seeing is the Giants probably are overall a more talented team. A lot of the things that the Falcons do really well is the same exact things the Giants do really well. They have good quarterbacks. Two good wide receivers each, good tight ends. I think that Vegas is looking at well. I think the defense for the Giants is a little bit better. And the Giants seem to always play better in big games. Obviously the Falcons haven't won a playoff game under Matty Ice, and the Giants have shown that they play well down the stretch. So I just think this is a very, very tough game for the Giants to win, to go down to Atlanta. And out of their three remaining games, at Baltimore is another really tough place to play, and then home against Philly, I think they'll take care of business there. But if you really think that the Skins are going to go and sweep the last three games and the Giants have to win all three of these games, what do you think the chances of that are?
I think the Redskins winning three in a row, or the chances of that happening are higher than the Giants that happening, because I feel like, against the Ravens, I'm concerned. Even though their defense is not what it used to be,
Baltimore's tough. And same thing with Flacco. And when he's playing at home, he looks like a real quarterback. When
right.
he plays on the road, he looks like Mark Sanchez.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know. For some reason, Atlanta does not faze me at all.
Nobody believes in that team.
Nobody. And it's
Nobody.
Weird because they have, what, one loss, two losses?
Two losses.
Two losses. I mean, that's just brutal.
But,
and,
you know, they've won a lot of close games that you could say whether they got lucky or what, but they won a lot of close games that maybe they shouldn't have. But they win. I mean, they're 11-2. They're two losses. They lost at New Orleans and then at Carolina. They're undefeated again at home. Last season they had another good home record. They had a good home record every year since Matty Ice has been there. So, you know, they don't have a ton of quality wins on their schedule, though. I mean, they have a pretty light schedule. They did beat Denver early on at home. I think that was when Denver was still figuring themselves out a little before they've gone on this crazy run. You know, they did beat Washington at Washington, but that was, again, you know, a little early on for Washington. So, you know, they don't have a ton of really quality wins. I mean, if you were to look at their schedule, you know, maybe Denver's their best win. And so this is really their biggest test here in this and, you know, Atlanta's already got their division wrapped up. So, but I think this is going to be, I mean, if I'm a betting guy, which, you know, I don't really, I'm not a big gambler, I would probably put a significant amount of money on Atlanta, which means you should probably go with the Giants. But I just feel like this is going to be a tough game for the Giants to win down there.
Yeah, and I haven't seen enough of Atlanta to kind of give a forecast on what the Giants plan to do in terms of game planning. My assumption is that they'll key on Turner and shut the run game down. Maybe stack the box and really force Matty Ice to throw the ball to Roddy White and Julio Jones and Gonzo. Gonzo might be the difference here because the Giants are historically, their linebackers are not great in coverage, although they did get, I forget his first name, it begins with a J. His last name is Williams. I think it's Jacquez Williams.
Jacquez Rogers.
No, Williams. On the Giants. He just came back from injury. He's like their best cover linebacker, so it's good that they got him back in the mix because they're going to task him with squaring up against Gonzo. And hopefully Phillips, I don't know what his injury status is, but if he can come back, we can get back into that three-safety look that is so dominant and works so well for them.
Jaquan
Williams. He's from South Florida. South Florida Bull.
He is.
And,
well, you've always been a big South Florida fan. If you're a believer in him, you got the jersey on now. It's a nice jersey. it'll be a fun run there in the NFC for sure. I mean, even the wild card teams, you know, there's 2-8-5 teams in there now.
Chicago's
on
a
way
heap
down.
Of trouble.
Yeah, Chicago's on the way down. But then you look at a team like the Vikings, and you say, I mean, they got no quarterback play. Over the last seven games.
There are people saying that Christian Ponder is the worst quarterback in the NFL. I was like, I saw the worst quarterback in the NFL.
We saw, although I don't know that he might not be in the NFL by week's end. That guy Lindley was brutal. But, he's not good, though, Ponder. And I remember at the beginning of the season, he started out first four games, he had like no picks. Everybody was like, oh, look, he could do it. You know, and he's not good. He was terrible last year. I remember watching him.
AP has rushed for more yards than he's thrown for.
In the last seven games. That's a long stretch to have your running back run for more than your quarterback. But so it's hard to believe in them. But, you know, they got the good pass rush there. And it's like AP just put the team on his back. He's been unbelievable.
I mean, if anything,
if they do make the playoffs, he's got to win the MVP. I know there's a lot of good quarterback play. You look at Brady's stats are ridiculous.
Yeah.
29 touchdowns, 4 picks, no fumbles is insane. And last year when we did our top 10 quarterback picks and I put him number one, people laughed at me. I put him over Aaron Rodgers, but I'm like, you know what? If I'm starting a team for one season, I'm still taking Brady. He's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I don't care what defense it is.
His stats are – I was reading his stats, and I wish I could pull them up real quick, but I'll never find it in time. But it's just – they blow, like, Joe Montana way out of the water. And, like, most of the top stats guys, Favre, Marino, I mean, he's right there with them, and he doesn't throw picks.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You know, Marino and Favre, they throw that, but they throw a ton of interceptions, and Brady doesn't.
And when he gets hit, he doesn't fumble like Mark Sanchez does every time.
No butt fumbles up in Foxborough.
That'll be our transition over to the Jets game. Now, he did take a guy came in unblocked around DeBrickashaw Ferguson, who I really believe is one of the most overrated players in all of football, DeBrickashaw Ferguson. He had that one good season when they had that stacked offensive line. The fact that he made the Pro Bowl last year was a joke. But he came in unblocked and caused the fumble on Sanchez. But it's like every time Sanchez gets hit, he fumbles.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. If he gets hit, he fumbles. Unless the hit's right in his face and he can protect it. It's like Ben Roethlisberger will just have the ball in his hand, like wiggling it around, and he'll get drilled by 350-pound linemen, and he just hangs onto the football. It'll be a cornerback blitz on Sanchez, and he fumbles. But we go into that game, and, you know, the lead-up to last week was the quarterback controversy, who was going to start. We had known before last week's show that Sanchez was going to get the start. I kind of agreed with it, but, you know, he said, well, you know, if he put him on a short leash, though, you know, we were going to give him a couple drives if things weren't working out. Bring in McElroy.
You gave him a quarter and a half. And it was not looking good after a quarter and a half.
Well, the thing was, there was no leash because McElroy wasn't not active for the football game. So it's just like, what are you talking about, New York Jets? Because you have Joe McKnight has migraines. He has all the time, right? He's got migraines. We've got to keep him active because we want him out there. Fine. So we can only activate one quarterback. Fine. They wind up activating Tim Tebow over McElroy, which really means there was never going to be a point if Sanchez wasn't doing well, they weren't going to bring in Tim Tebow. First of all, he clearly wasn't healthy. He didn't even run the Wildcat once. He didn't even see the field. So it wasn't like he was healthy enough to be the Tim Tebow. The only way Tim Tebow could be successful in that Wildcat slash type quarterback role. So really, he was only there for emergency purposes. So that whole buildup where everybody was talking
to him. He was there so a riot didn't break out because half of that stadium was there to see Tim Tebow.
And that is why the Jets will win the Super Bowl. I just broke it down for two.
If you don't believe that that little brownout wasn't the second coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Tim Tebow.
Yeah, we started
ill of God's quarterback, and he'll let you know.
One studio in the town of Norwalk, Connecticut. Just went that lost power, and it was only the one circuit that was carrying the internet. Well, we're back on live. We were talking here, we had a little power outage here, but we're back. We were talking about the decision to activate Tim Tebow and not Greg McElroy, and it really just showed that they were going to say, you know what, we've went with Sanchez, here it is. And really, they didn't ask him to do anything. They weren't even running the ball extraordinarily well. I think they averaged just over 3 yards per carry with their two backs there. But they did just enough. They knew their defense could play well. And, you know, they got a little scare late where it got a little closer than it needed to be to finish 17-10. But, you know, they got the win when they needed to get the win. I'm looking at the New York Jets, right? They are, talent-wise, and I said this on our Facebook page, bottom five in the league. And I've watched every snap of every Jet game.
Yeah.
Bottom five in the league. They don't pass block well. They don't run the ball well. They don't have a running back that anyone is afraid of. They don't have one single wide receiver that anybody's afraid of. They do now. They got the beard back, and we'll get to that in a minute. They got a tight end who's been their one real playmaker on offense is their tight end who's been on and off all season long being with injuries. On defense, they don't stop the run. They're bottom five in the league against the run. Their best cornerback's out for the season. And somehow this team is 6-7, Neil. Now explain to me, because when I said you got to give the coaching staff some credit here, because when you take a team with no talent and put them close to .500, it's got to be some reason.
And you play them against teams that also don't have talent.
Well,
someone's got to win.
Did they beat the Colts? Are the Colts 9-4? Did they beat the Colts? Did they go to St. Louis and beat St. Louis handily when St. Louis has beaten and tied the San Francisco 49ers? Did they beat those two teams? Do they have more talent than the Dolphins or even the Bills? I don't know that they do. I don't know that they have more talent than the Buffalo Bills. And I'll tell you what about the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jets don't have a player on their team as good as Justin Blackmon. They don't have a playmaker like that.
Yeah.
There's more guys. I think if you were to take the rosters of those two teams that play on Sunday
and you need to start 11 on each side, I guarantee you'd find more players on the Jacksonville Jaguars than you would on a New York Jets.
So how do they win?
It's got to be
big coaching.
It's got to be Rex Ryan, dude. How else could you explain it? Explain to me how you explain it. I'm not saying I could name you a laundry list of things that I think Rex Ryan has done wrong. You look at it, but you could also sit there and look at a laundry list of things that Joe Girardi does wrong with the Yankees or anyone. You say, yeah. Why the hell? I mean, you look at like a team like the Chargers. They're a much better team than the Jets are. How are the Chargers so bad? How look at the Cowboys have infinitely more talent than the Jets. They have one more win than the Jets. How can it not be something about Rex Ryan? Everybody wants to hate Rex Ryan and they have it in their mind. And I agree, you could in the way they've handled the quarterback situation is one thing. His evaluation of talent is clearly bad, and you want to put the fact that they don't have a lot of talent on him, then you could put that on him. I blame that on Tannenbaum. But how else can you explain that they're 6-7? They are the worst 6-7 team, and if they go out and win this week, they'll be 500. They will be the worst 500 team in the history of the National Football League.
They were saying that if they make the playoffs, they would be the worst playoff team since the Seahawks went 7-9 and won and beat the
and they went on beating the
Saints. Yeah.
But you know what? They're way worse than that team was talent wise.
Yeah,
they're bad.
They just have to get into the playoffs and then maybe it'll be a different ball game. I mean, that goes for
I have no hopes of winning a playoff game. I don't even think that they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, I honestly do think if they were to win these three games, and I know there's a lot of scenarios, I think they will get in at 9-7 because everybody already has put the Colts in the playoffs. The Colts are playing the Texans this week at Houston. They're going to lose that game. They're 9-point underdogs, right? Then they go play Kansas City. Now, Kansas City's another one of those kind of weird teams that they people had playoff aspirations with them.
The Texans losing to New England is
huge. It's the best thing that happened to the Jets.
Right. It's huge.
They're at risk right now, the Texans, of not even having a first-round bye. Because if they lose another game, you could see the Denver Broncos coming up and winning out and getting and you know, if you're the Texans, you can't afford to lose your first round bye after starting 11-1.
Right.
So I think that, and barring some big losses out of New England or Denver, the Texans are going to have to win all three of their games. They're going to be they're going to have to play those games. So that fear of them just taking week 17 off. And letting the Colts walk to a victory is off the table. So really, I mean, I don't know that I think that the Colts will lose this week, and then it's going to go to Kansas City, which everybody knows Kansas City is a super tough place to play. Arrowhead, nobody ever wants to play there. And so I don't think it's that crazy for the Colts to go 0-3 down the stretch. I don't think, and you look at the way the Steelers are playing, they're so crazy and inconsistent, even though the Jets lose the tiebreaker against them. They're only a game behind them, so they need them to go 1-2. And then the other team ahead of them is the Bengals. And so I don't think it's crazy for any of those three teams to falter down the stretch. I just don't see the Jets rattling off 5 wins in a row at the end of the season. If they do, then anybody, if they go out and win the last 5 games of the season, I don't care what their schedule is. No team in the league goes out and wins all the games they're supposed to win. The Giants have lost games they were supposed to win, and the Giants are the best coached team in the league. So you have to give some credit to the guy. If his team goes 9-7, Neil.
They have the big guy upstairs on their side. That's the only thing.
Mm-mm. He is not on their side. We talked ill of Tim Tebow for 30 seconds. We lost power. Big boy is not on the Jets' side. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't know. I mean, they obviously have to win out, and you basically need the Steelers to mess the bed, so to speak.
Right. Now, they play the Cowboys.
There's no way they're going to do that. Cowboys, Bengals, Browns. Cowboys are like starting to lose it. The wheels are coming off, even though they had a very inspirational win. I mean, I don't see them pulling together and circling the wagons. And then Bengals. I don't know that they usually handle them fairly easy. And then the Browns whatever.
All right, so even if they go, so then you're going to assume a loss for the Bengals at Pittsburgh.
All right, so Bengals are another team that they have to get over. Now the Bengals,
you
got
to root for the Bengals to that. Yeah, but they're not going to lose the Eagles.
All right, look, we have to agree to not mention his name anymore.
We're putting a ban on Ebo Tag.
Yeah, Ebo Tag. Because the two times we've mentioned him, the power has gone out to the one circuit that controls the internet.
God's quarterback, man.
In this house.
He's
so,
working his voodoo.
As I said, Tim Tebow should start at quarterback for every NFL team in the league.
And praise Allah. And
but so let's get to this week. They go out and they signed Braylon Edmonds. The beard is back. This guy badmouths the organization.
Oh, yeah, you can call us idiots. So sign the dotted line. He was an idiot.
He was an idiot then. Yeah, we'll pay you some guaranteed money. They probably signed him a 5-year deal.
With, like, all these guaranteed incentive clauses.
As funny as it sounds, he was the guy, the one free agent wide receiver, decent name, like the big name has been wide receivers are out there. The T.O., Chad Ochocinco, Randy Moss. The one guy I thought they could bring back would be him before the season started. And they didn't even bring him in for a workout. You know, he could help them. They don't have wide receivers. Stephen Hicks hurt. He was no good anyway. He's going to be better than whatever else they can get out there. It's just funny that they brought it in more than anything. I don't know if it'll have an impact, but he's going to be better than whoever else they're going to bring off the waiver wire.
Why are they, like, have they just... Does Chrome not know the playbook? Was that a whole big joke?
How could he know the playbook? He doesn't know the playbook.
He doesn't even know what a condom is.
No, he doesn't know the first thing about a playbook. He had one catch for -2 yards last week. But he did start at wideout. So, you know, going into this game, everybody got these easy schedules. You know what? They're playing at Tennessee, and they're getting points at Tennessee. They're 1.5-point underdogs. That shows you the talent level of the New York Jets, if they're actually getting points at Tennessee this week. I'm telling you, I feel pretty confident. I think this team likes to play on the road because they don't get booed on the road. And I think they're gonna go out and win this week. The next week's game is at San Diego. Is home against San Diego. It's supposed to be the primetime Sunday night game. The NFL nixed that. They said nobody's going to watch that game. They bumped them down to the 1 o'clock game. They got flexed out of it, which is great for me because I didn't want to go to a night game anyway. So, you know, I said 5 weeks ago they were going to entice me in just enough to make me go to that last game and say, well, we have a shot. And that's why. Well, they'll have a shot regardless of whatever. You know, I think that the Colts will lose regardless of what the other two teams do.
Jets might run the ball 50 times.
They probably will. They'll run the ball 50 times for 140 yards.
Sanchez will be like 9 of 11 for, you know,
71 yards.
82 yards. And
they'll run 50 times for 140.
Yeah.
Just under 3 yards a carry. And they'll go out and win that game 15-6, all field goals. Nick Foles. And it'll be another horrible game to watch. But
What? Oh, God.
You know it will be. Do you have any doubt? Do you think the Jets are going to lose this game?
I don't know. I mean,
they're an impossible team to predict other than the fact that when we just mentioned, you look at the games they were supposed to win, other than that one Miami game, they've won them all.
I mean,
they cover, actually. The only game they didn't cover is the 7-6 game against the Cardinals. So when they are favored to win, they usually win and cover. When they're favored to lose, they usually lose and don't come close to covering. And so, you know, although they're favored to lose, I think that line will close some and it'll probably be a pick 'em at game time. I feel pretty good about this game.
Yeah, I think the only concern if I'm a Jets fan is Chris Johnson, if they can bottle him up.
Yeah, they have not been good against the run.
You do not have to worry about Jake Locker. But if you allow Chris Johnson to get a quick start and start running wild, then you're gonna have some problems. They just got to play ahead. They can't play from behind at all, ever.
Yeah, they got to play not to lose, as the old cliche goes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we can talk until we're blue in the face about all the different scenarios, but you have to win out. Basically, that's it.
You got to win out, make it exciting for Jet fans.
Yeah.
As exciting as this season could possibly get. All right, now, as long as you're
due to your serious segment, does not include any Ebote talk. We should be able to maintain power throughout. So what do you got for due to your serious here, Neil?
Okay. Manny Pacquiao's mom thinks he lost because he's no longer a Catholic.
Hey, judging by the events of tonight's show.
From what's happened tonight.
I'm with Miss Pacquiao.
Did you watch that fight?
I watched the ending blow of it. Ooh, Fi's right. He's walked right into that one. My God.
How about the sweeping right that he took?
Yeah.
He fell down on that one, too. I was actually pretty shocked when he fell down.
Yeah.
Long right.
You know what I like about that, though, is that now the Mayweather fight, Mayweather-Packer fight's not going to happen.
No.
Mm.
And it's all Floyd Mayweather's fault.
Although, what's his name? Bob Arum?
Arum.
Said that Mayweather's the one who's balking, and he supposedly turned down an absurd dollar amount.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mayweather's always been the one.
Yeah, he's been the one, and it's like, and now it's always going to be, well, now it's too late.
Now I feel like he's going to start talking like he wants to fight.
Yeah.
I can totally see that.
But did you see his tweet after the fight? My condolences to Manny Pacquiao's family for watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, money.
Sounds about right, though.
Yeah. Still a fun follow on Twitter, but.
I tell you what, everybody keeps saying Pacquiao's career is pretty much over. If he wants that one big payday, I mean, I doubt Mayweather will take it now, but. If they could get that fight and get that one payday, it'd be...
I agree, but you could live in his country for like 3 cents a day. He's made more money than... And he's a congressman there or whatever. Yeah. Like, he doesn't need any money.
Yeah.
What else you got?
T.G. Barber, everyone's favorite Giants player.
Always has been.
He goes on Howard Stern, and he's talking about, you know, Howard asked him... You know, when you're walking down the street, do Giants fans harass you? Do they yell at you? Do they flip you off? You know, because he gets booed. Every time if you've been in the stadium, he comes on the screen or they mention his name, boos rain down from the heavens. And so Howard asked him, is this what happens when you walk down the street, you get harassed by Giants fans? And he goes, you know, it's not too bad. I think most fans appreciate what I've done, whatever. But then he goes on to say, he says he's a nice guy. He doesn't hold grudges. But there are a lot of bad people in his life, but that he doesn't let that faze him. He's a very nice person. He said you can literally sugar honey iced tea on him, and he'll be nice to you. He's literally defecate on this man.
Yeah. The only thing you could do that he won't be nice to you is if maybe you're mothering his children. Yeah. At that point, he'll say, well, I don't care about that woman. I'll cheat on with you. I got this young broad on the side. What, are you 8 months pregnant? Come on, this big old broad kind of walking into my house.
I didn't ask for twins.
Yeah. You know, in a lot
of
societies.
I was a twin, and I'm kind of sick of it.
Yeah, and a lot of societies, that's pretty evil, those twins. And so.
Just ask Tim Tebow. Uh-oh.
There goes the power.
There goes the power. So. Have you heard about this college women's women's college basketball player?
Mm-hmm.
It only took 4 takes to get out. She's 6'6". Her nickname is Big Sexy.
The players are laughing at her in the picture on the screen.
Oh yeah, this one's just laughing openly in her face. She's 50 years old.
Yeah.
She's transgender.
Okay.
I mean,
wow. Looks like she's got some good form, though.
Yikes. Oh, my.
She's got some nice tribal tash.
Oh.
And, I mean, is she dominating?
How can you not dominate?
Well, she's 50.
First of all, you're a dude. And you got old man strength.
I guess.
How can you not just dunk on everyone and just, like, you know. I mean, if I'm 50 and I'm not married, I don't have kids, I might think about doing this.
That might be a good way to go. If the show hasn't taken off by then, it might get us a leg up.
Snip and clip and tuck and roll, you know?
Big Sexy Neil Lynch here.
Oh,
I have not heard that story. Oofa. Well, good for her.
Anyway, there were two ESPN radio personalities who were, I think they were suspended or fired because they called her it.
And well, that's not right.
And they thought it was the politically correct term. And they got that little slap on the wrist.
Slap on the wrist and got fired.
I mean, I think they got suspended or fined. I don't know if they got fired, but...
Yeah.
you know, you gotta watch what you say. I'm surprised I'm still on the air.
somehow, some way. Although if we didn't handle that story properly, the power would have gone out again.
Well, you heard about the two Australian DJs that had the prank phone call about Kate Middleton and the nurse committed suicide.
Nurse committed suicide, and
they got fired. Yeah. The program was disbanded.
The whole program was disbanded. Yeah, they're like, we didn't know it would work, but they were all hyping it up before the lady committed suicide.
Did you hear the call?
I didn't. I heard the tail end of it on opening.
I mean, if I played you this call, there's no way that you would ever put that call through to
They're
laughing. They're cracking jokes in the background.
They had Australian accents, which if you live in England, you know the big difference between those.
They were, I mean, it was a joke. I cannot believe it.
But this lady don't know. I mean, it's a nurse at a hospital. I feel so bad for that lady and her family and all that. Screw those people. Prank phone calls were funny when the Jerky Boys were putting out mixtapes in the sixth grade.
Oh, yeah.
Rizzo was funny.
Yeah. Frank Rizzo.
I need my shoes and my glasses, so I have them.
And then they beat me.
Those were funny.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt there.
No one was committing suicide of those.
Mm-mm. So screw those people. I hope they never get a job again. Hope they don't become part of the NDB family. All right, what else you got?
Next up on NDB.
Guest DJs
from Prank Callers. So, I mean, good for her.
Mm-hmm.
It's a woman now, so good for her.
Good for her. I'm very happy for her.
Yeah, but there's got to be some more rules around this, right?
No.
Don't you keep your man's strength after you have the surgery,
no? She's 50 years old. Now, we had this conversation a year and a half ago, and I took a
All right, we're back. We are no longer allowed to, I guess, say anything controversial for the rest of the show. We're now calling in via the cell phone, so the sound might be a little different. I think we're still going to bring you the same kind of entertainment that you're used to here in the Tri-State Sports Guys. Now, Neil, you got a couple more due to you seriouses, or what do we got? He loves it. I know how much you love women's basketball.
We were just talking about women's basketball.
I don't know if that's on the blacklist yet, but
we'll find out. The cell tower goes down.
Yeah. But there was a girls' high school basketball team in Indiana that won a game 107-2.
Yeah.
Well, so that's a barn burner in the biz, obviously.
Yeah.
But at some point, like at halftime, when it's 50-some-odd-0, do you just kind of say, all right, you know what, ladies, we're gonna pack it in? How in the first place do these two teams get together and square off?
Bad shot by the AD.
How much money is that one high school getting? And if you're in that audience, if you're in the stands watching this game, I mean that at some point you guys gotta hit a wall and just start throwing stuff. I mean, I'm assuming this is a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Look.
What are you going to do about it? I mean, in Connecticut, we have the stupid football rule where if you beat a team by more than 50 points, your coach is suspended for a game.
High school?
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
That's a new rule that came into play.
I think that's a great rule.
Coach Ireland told me this rule. So what happens when you put both JV teams in, which happens in high school?
Yeah.
Which a lot of times for sophomores, the only time you get into a varsity game is a sophomore.
Yeah.
And actually, we'll transition to this to the Seattle game this past weekend. So you're supposed to – what if you pick off a pass, your team, and there's nobody around? Or what if there's a safety or something? You're supposed to – what are you supposed to do?
The winning coach gets suspended?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the loser.
No, the winning coach gets suspended a game. So what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to tell a guy to fall down at the one-yard line? Or
That's silly
stuff. So, we could say, even though this isn't part of your Due to You series, why don't we talk a little bit about the Seattle game this past weekend, where you had, everybody's criticizing Pete Carroll for running up the score a little bit. My thing is, they got Flynn on the bench. They signed him that big money. If they still had their starting quarterback in and they're throwing the ball up and down the field, well, then I agree, and that's silly. But when you bring your backup quarterback in, he should be able to throw the ball.
Yeah, I
know we are.
our technician just came down. So we're off. Thanks, there. So we
So I don't have a real problem with them having their backup team in there making plays. I mean, what do you want them to do?
I didn't know it was the winning coach. I mean, that's pretty bogus. But at the same time, there has to be – let's make it interesting.
There's got to be a rule.
Only three-pointers?
What kind of rule do you want?
Take away, for every double digit that you're up, so say if it's 20 points, take two players away. You start playing with a handicap.
The thing with basketball, and I agree, at some point you could be the coach and say, let these girls score. You can't do as much. Like, you could say, you don't really have to.
What is that movie where it's not kicking and screaming? Is it Little Giants? There's got to be a movie where the coach on the other team of a kid's team just is like, we're going to be ruthless and just go nuts.
I don't know. I've never seen Kicking and Screaming. I know Little Giants pretty well. I don't remember that where they just want to beat the team by 50.
Yeah, they're just like relentless, and they didn't want to see pain and suffering. And
could be Ed O'Neill. He was a vicious coach.
Yeah.
He was. He was vicious in that movie. Great movie. But, yeah, I mean, hey, look, these girls got to learn a lesson, I guess, you know. What else you got?
Yeah, but, I mean, like, does the whole team quit after that? Do you just, like, scrap the season?
Sure.
So what is the next step?
How do you go to school the next day? Imagine that in, like, announcements during a home room.
Yeah.
Barnburner last night, we lost 107-2.
We lost our opening game.
Leading scorer, Big Sexy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got 2 points.
No,
two free throws.
So they were fouling? That's even worse. They're up 107 points and they're hacking. They don't want to give up that shutout. The shutout in high school basketball is coveted.
They probably shot the free throws like granny style, too, between the legs.
They probably were 2 of 30 from the line.
Yeah, I remember senior year of high school, we lost to a team we had. The first game of the year, we didn't lose to a team yet, in like over a decade. And, of course, I'm a starter, so, yeah, we lost. First time in 10 years. By a touchdown, and I came in the next day, and I had cheerleaders, like, cussing me out in the hallway.
Yeah, that's on you, Neil.
Yeah. 107-2, everyone's got to take the day off the next day.
Meanwhile, you're 33 and still single.
Yeah.
They go back to that. They look up your Facebook, like, well, you lost to them? You lost to Catholic?
Yep, that'll haunt me.
That'll
haunt me. I don't put that on my OKCupid profile. Thinking about changing my name.
Yeah.
You hear about this Auburn recruit?
Mm-mm.
Five-star Auburn recruit commits, gets an Auburn tattoo, decommits.
Boom, boom. But at least it's safe now.
Yeah.
Well, now you get an Auburn tattoo. That'll go with you. You say, I was a big kid.
But, like, say, I don't have any tattoos, but I know that people that do get tattoos and then, like, stuff changes in their life, they have to try and alter it. I don't even know how you alter an Auburn tattoo.
You just go, I go just black it out in circles. I got a black circle right here. What's that about?
I don't know. The black hole, don't get near it.
That's it. I got a big black circle on my arm. What? Yeah, I don't know. You got to black that out. Maybe cross that with a little JK.
or just put socks in there. Yeah. Right? So then, I feel like I see another freaking a D3 freshman.
You can curse now. We're not online.
Oh, okay, yeah. That's like cell phones. There's no ratings. We're both nude, by the way.
Completely. I went to power now for the third time. I just lost my pants. This is a rule in my house.
There's a freshman basketball player, D3, is a guard, 43 years old.
Yes.
I'm starting to think that I got a shot.
I got some eligibility left. You know what? I went looking through some of my high school scrap books. I think I had a career at quarterback. I think I should have really come back. I could sling it around the yard right now.
Yeah.
I could bring my knowledge, and now that I'm a host of a major sports talk radio show, my knowledge of picking apart defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it. You're like our generation's Chris Wanky.
I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm Brandon Whedon. I'm a little younger. I'm a few years younger than Brandon Whedon.
Yeah, and that's really all I got. I mean,
well, that's good. It only knocked our internet out.
Yeah,
so it was a good segment. Well, we're going to, for the first time in a few weeks, we got Say What?
Yeah.
Say What again?
Yeah.
We can't even play it.
Can't even play it.
What do you got, Tom?
Let's go to Dodgers. You know, they're making all sorts of moves.
That cranky $700 million for 3 years.
Payroll baseball.
Yeah.
And Don Mattingly says, I shorten this up. We're supposed to win. There it is. If we lose, we're failures.
What do you guys think?
Yeah, they're making some big time moves. They still, I mean, look,
this reeks the Marlins right now.
I'm telling you, I mean,
there's no defusing this bomb.
Yeah, the thing is, they're not going to be able to sell off in LA like they sell off in Miami. They can't get out of these things that they've done. And Billingsley's probably out another year, right? So he's out. They're replacing him with Granke. So top of the rotation, you got Granke and Kershaw, obviously. Kershaw being probably the best left-handed starter, definitely in the National League, if not the whole league. But, yeah, I don't know. I looked it up. They are 8.5-1 favorites to win the World Series. They're the favorite. And I don't know. I can't put myself to put money on them. I'm not a huge believer in them. You put all these pieces together, there's not a lot of times you see that happen in baseball where you just put all these pieces together in one year and it just clicks. And they just hit it. So, man, they got a lot of talent in a lot of places. But baseball is a funny game. You need pieces that fit together. And I don't know that they have that. I saw somebody tweet today. And it was I forget who it was. It was somebody on ESPN said, well, they might as well trade Ethier, eat that contract, and sign Josh Hamilton and be done with it. I mean, oof, what are they going to have, $300 million payroll? I mean, I know they're getting a big TV contract, but at some point, it's a diminishing returns, don't you think?
Yeah. It makes me think that Magic Johnson's involved in some kind of like Brewster's Millions type scenario.
He's
got to spend it all by midnight and by October of next year, or else he doesn't get it, keep it or something.
He's living the dream, Magic. We all want to be you, dude. Just keep open movie theaters, Starbucks. What else you got?
I'll keep it on baseball because I'm sure you missed that. You got R.A. Dickey, and the Mets are saying that he's becoming too absorbed with his new celebrity.
Well, he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated this week. It was all about his book and everything. He's on The Daily Show last week.
Oh, boy.
That's typical Mets PR talk about, like, that's the reason why. They're trying to justify the fact that they're going to trade him. And I think it's a good move to be trading him. I said it 6 months ago.
They were asking on SVP today. Apparently they have a bunch of Mets fans on staff, and they were all saying don't trade him. And I'm still in that camp. I really feel like he's such a major draw, and he's such a great success story. And I still feel like he's got a lot of years left in him. I don't know why everyone's saying he's peaked and like that's his best year, and that they're like writing him off like he's on his way to the grave.
No,
that's ridiculous.
I think he's got several more solid seasons. But if you're able to get, what worries me is that I don't think he's getting the interest that they thought he would, which is weird to me. Because he's under control for $5 million, and you see the contract that Zach Greinke's signing, who's a huge question mark.
Yeah.
The guy's literally been in a crazy house. Like, maybe that's not a little bit correct, but he has been in a mental institution because he's got problems mentally.
You're suspended.
And there goes the spell cop. But he's got mental problems and has fragile, and now he's on a team that is in a must-win situation. You don't think that's a gamble right there?
Yeah.
Look at what they gave Dan Heron out in Washington. Jeremy Guthrie got $35 million. So you would think that, like, R.A. Dickey would be commanding. You even look at what, and this is going to be one of my 5 and 10, but who knows what the rest of our schedule of the show is.
Yeah.
So we might as well just talk about whatever at this point.
We're going to be off and on for the next few minutes.
And James Shields is a solid pitcher, gives you a lot of innings, but he's not a star front of the line pitcher.
He's a solid 3.
Yeah, the guy's a... I think his career record is 87 and 75, somewhere around there. On a team that's been good his whole career there, he's got an ERA close to 4.
Yeah.
Gives you 200 innings every year. He's very good.
Yeah.
But the Royals just traded their number one hitting prospect, possibly, baseball perspective, has the number one hitting prospect in all the minor leagues.
Yeah.
The kid Will Myers. And anybody that plays fantasy baseball has been tracking this guy for 2 years because he just hits 35 home runs a year in the minors. And then they that guy Odorizzi, their number one pitching prospect, was included in the deal too. It's kind of like a throw-in. And they got James Shields and Wade Davis. So if James Shields is commanding that kind of talent,
yeah,
how is R.A. Dickey not getting you back a legitimate prospect? Like legitimately, when people were talking about R.A. Dickey for Will Myers, I was like, are you crazy? R.A. Dickey's not here. Well, they're not trading Will Myers for anybody. And they traded for James Shields. And I'm like,
yeah,
well, maybe I was the crazy one.
Right.
So why isn't he getting back like somebody like legit? Let's get an immediate everyday player and a big prospect for him. Then you have to do it. If you're not going to get that, I agree, keep him.
My guess is because he's only had the one good year of success. I mean, not knowing that he, you know, his 11 campaign was decent, and his 2010 wasn't that.
Was very good.
Either.
He's been good since he's been a Met.
Yeah.
I think he's very hard to scout, which I think worries other teams. What are you going to scout? I mean, like, his knuckleball's unbelievable. It's on, you can't hit it. But it's, like, hard to – you can't compare him to anybody else. It's hard to scout him, maybe. I don't know. But, I think that's a – and going back to Tony's original point about him being a diva or whatever it is now, he's absorbed in his celebrity. I think that's the Mets PR.
Mets are saying that he was not bad enough, but acting like a prima donna at the Christmas party. Like, why are you bringing that
up? But he was all he was talking was, I want to be a New York Met. I love it there. They gave me a chance. I love it there. He doesn't seem anything like a prima donna. What else you got?
What do you guys think about this bounty stuff? Did you see Tavi? I mean,
that was my green paper.
Dang, Cogliff moved back. And, do you all agree with that? I mean, how much easier is this guy, easy going is this guy's team than Goodell?
Hey, he's like, look, it was the coach's fault, it was the organization's fault.
I mean, the guy comes in, just bang, bang. He's like, you know what? I mean,
Goodell must hate. Because Vilma didn't even drop his defamation lawsuit.
Yeah.
I'm sticking with that.
Absolutely.
Especially now that, like, as to it, even this guy, the former commissioner, came in and said I didn't do anything wrong.
The guy is on a power trip. It just seems like he goes out of his way to just be an idiot. You know, and it's just, Cogliff was just so much. He never had these kind of problems when he was, you know, running the league.
He wants to put a stamp on the game, Goodell.
Reed says, you know, I have to say that he has little or no credibility with players. I mean,
oh, he does.
100%. But that's the MO of someone that can do the position. You want to come in hard, and then ease up and soften.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. We were young when Tagliabue first came into the league, so I don't know that, you know, I don't know that. Does anyone remember what Tagliabue's track record was when he first started?
I don't remember. The thing is, to me, about a commissioner in sports, you shouldn't really care that much who's the commissioner. Like, all these commissioners, like, that's the one thing about Bud Steely. Like, you could say what you want, but he's not the David Stern that wants to be front and center all the time.
Hands and everything,
He's just like, I just want...
He doesn't handle it until someone smushes it in his face.
Yeah, like, Bud, handle it.
I'll get out of the
just, like, shuffle the shoes out there.
Let me get my crock.
Okay, that's right. Oh, I'm working a lot of money. Okay, here I go. I used to own the Brewers.
How about before I go, Adrian Peterson? Do you think he can catch Eric Thurston?
I don't think so. He's got to average 160 yards a game.
Yep.
I mean, he's been putting on a ridiculous run.
He's not paid for 1,959. He needs
2,106. Yeah, I'm rooting for him. I mean, God, what a great story he's been. But I just don't see. I mean, they don't throw the ball. It's amazing what he does. Like, every week.
Yeah.
And then, like, early on in the game, he just breaks off a 70-yard run, like, every week. I think it happens in the game. Is this going to be the game they stop him? No. Here we go. It was first quarter. I know. I have him, and I'm like, I won this week. Nope. Thanks, AJ and Cam. And Cam Newton, you jerk. Yeah, I mean, I obviously I'm rooting for it, but I don't think he's going to. He can't possibly. It's impossible.
I didn't even know Eric Dickerson was there.
Oh, yeah.
It's because he's all about the goggles. That's what AP needs to get.
What if he short like 200 yards going to the last game and he just pulls them out with no lenses, a la Tony's boy from Coke City? Like big rim goggles. That's all you got. All right, well, our 5 and 10 is in my phone, and I can't actually get to it right now, but I'm going to try to go. We talked a little bit about the game sheet, Shields deal. So we're going to get – well, let's get right to it. Stick with baseball. Let's get to the Euclid deal. Before we get to whether it's a good move or not, what do you think about the fact that everybody's saying the Red Sox fans are going to be all over him, booing him for going to the Yankees? Now, the Red Sox traded him.
This is par for the course for Red Sox players. Always end up in New York.
But if it was like a free agent, like if he was a free agent and he left the Sox to go there, that's one thing. They traded him in the middle of the year, and it was like a controversial trade. He got benched for an upcoming prospect, Will Middlebrook. I don't know how you could possibly trade you. Like, he was in tears when he left the game. Remember, he got pulled out of the game?
Yeah.
How could you possibly boo him?
Because they're Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I guess.
God. How many players have gone from New York to Boston?
Thousands.
Really? I think you can remember.
Oh,
New York
to
Boston? Yeah, New York. Not Boston.
The other way around. I can't
even think of one. But Boston, you had Giants, Damon Wade, Boggs, Roger Clemens. I mean, like, that's how
Babe Ruth.
There's no names that you can
No, you're right. You're right. I don't think there has been many, even in the type of scenario like Euclid, that have gone the other way, like not their fault, like wound up back in Boston late in their career. I don't really remember many at all.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think that, you know, Boston players, and David Ortiz has touched on this a couple times, where it's not only the media that gets under your skin, but the fans can be, you know, as loyal as we all think Boston fans are, I feel like they can turn on you a bit.
I'll tell you, I do. I have to go up to Massachusetts and Rhode Island a lot for work, and I listen to sports talk radio in Boston. It blows New York sports talk radio out of the water. They got those obnoxious New England accents, and they, I mean, when they talk about, like, hatred of a guy or they love a guy, it's like, and they talk like fans do, and then the people call in, and, you know, their love affairs with some guys and their hatreds of some guys are so intense. And people talk about New York, it blows New York out of the water. It's so entertaining.
Yeah.
It's great. So I can't wait. I'm actually going to be in Providence next week. I hope they talk about it the entire time I'm driving up there.
You could be a unique case, though, because I feel like he goes beyond, although Wade Boggs, I mean, that was a real sock to the gut. Roger Clemens, it's like Roger's a fiery guy. He's not, like, that lovable. Wade Boggs, you know, he smokes beers. He smokes Miller Lite. We call Miller Lite Boggs. You know, he's a lovable guy.
Clemens, end of his career with the Red Sox, he was supposedly on the downside of his career.
Right.
You know, before the Roys and all that.
And then Johnny Damon, I mean, I don't know how you can hate Johnny Damon. He's a caveman. I mean, he doesn't say anything that's improper. He's a nice guy.
Although he said he would never cut his hair, play for the Yankees, and then he
And then he cut his hair and played for the Yankees.
He's a phony.
He's going to hold, you know, words against someone.
No words against him. I guess you can if you want. But
I can see you. I think in his first, here's what's going to go down. His first plate appearance in Fenway, I think he gets a standing ovation. He's going to walk. It's going to be a crucial walk. He's going to score, and he's going to be booed mercilessly for the rest of his days.
Well, he'll be booed in, like, big spots. I just don't think, like, the first time he shows up, he's going to be booed for the fact that
he'll
did
get a standing ovation.
He'll get booed because he's a Yankee.
Yeah.
But that's a little different than what everybody's anticipating. He's going to get booed mercilessly. If he does, then they aren't idiots.
There's only team left there. No power to the TV.
We got nothing here. We got no power anywhere. So we're going to go we're going to go back to the 5%.
What's operating on Magic?
We got this one. I'm telling you right now, there's one breaker that controls the internet that's the only breaker in the house going out because of you and your tomfoolery. Satan talk. And your Satan talk. We talked about the Nets, but we're going to expand on the Nets a little more. I mean, they are on a complete free fall here. I was so excited about the Nets going into the season. The start to their season looked good. They've now lost 5 in a row. Last we saw before the power went out, they were getting smoked at Toronto, where they were 7.5-point favorites. I mean, I don't know what to make of this. I mean, I know Brooke Lopez is out, and that's one of the concerns with the Nets is that they are not deep at all.
Yeah.
But they have been getting production out of their backups. I mean, Andre Blatch is solid.
Yeah.
Reggie Evans is back. He had, like, 20 rebounds last night. So it's not that. Their big problem is their backcourt, which is supposed to be one of the best backcourts in the league. Darren Williams is playing terribly, terribly. And he hasn't been good as a Net, to be honest with you, but everybody was always saying it's because the Nets were bad and he was waiting to see what's happening with Dwight Howard and all. I'm just starting to believe that guy was overhyped because he is not good. He's not a good shooter. He's not been playing well. Joe Johnson has been bad, and our good friend of the show, Paco, is a big Atlanta Hawks fan. He said, you're going to hate Joe Johnson. I said, yeah, right. Joe Johnson gives you 21 a game, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. I'll take that. Well, as a Net, 16 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, shooting 30% or whatever he's shooting. He's been terrible. They seem to be, when they rely on their backcourt, last night they were scoring in the paint at will, but then when the Knicks were making their run on offense, they were just settling for jump shots with Williams and Johnson.
Yeah.
And that's clearly not going to win it for them. They don't have a 3-point shooter. You know, they lost Anthony Morrow, which, you know, in the Joe Johnson deal, which you could say, oh, it's nothing. Anthony Morrow's just kind of role player. But that guy can shoot the lights out from behind the arc. They don't have a guy that could do that. So I didn't
watch the Knicks Nets game. But is they have Chandler on K-Hump?
Chandler, he was more on blast, to be honest with you, down low.
So who's Hump on?
Who was Hump covering last night?
And who was playing on Hump?
And I guess it would have been Rasheed or somebody like that. I mean,
see, my
Hump was doing nothing. Hump has done nothing all year offensively, but he's not an offensive threat. The Hump. He earned the.
I was at his game last week. Oh my God! Everybody, Hump. Look at Hump.
Oh.
He's not good.
He's a rebounder, which is all he's supposed to be. He's supposed to give you 8 points, 10 rebounds, so he's not. But it's a good guy to have on your team if it's a really good team. He just can't, you can't line.
Exactly.
He's a guy you want on your team. I love him, but he's not. He's grown into this, like, little, there's an aura around him now. But, you know, he's never going to be a 15 and 10 guy. He's not a scorer.
Yeah, they missed both guys.
Yeah, and he they were hoping to be back last night. He wasn't. I don't know if he's back tonight. It didn't look like it. In the short time I watched the game, he wasn't in the game. So I don't know if he's back. I'm going to the game Friday. It'll be the first time I'm at the Barclays Center. They're playing the Pistons.
Man, I was so disappointed.
Oh, all right.
Outside. It looks like they spent all their money on the outside of the stadium.
Yeah.
When you get inside, it's not as
That's
much.
What O said.
You know,
always a little
like,
disappointed.
You walk around a giant stadium and yesterday it's all flat screens. It just didn't seem the food's good.
Yeah.
But inside just seems
He
so
said the service, I mean, obviously, always sit like courtside or whatever
yeah,
it was.
I mean, we had, I was actually section 7, like, I was probably 20 feet from the court.
Yeah?
Sure. Yeah, I had great seats. But it was, outside is incredible. I got an LCD screen that just curves around the entire arena. And it's, I mean, it's awesome. But inside is just so basic and just minimal. And it's so overdone with JC.
Oh, yeah. He owns 1% of the team.
I love 90s hip-hop music. Every time they go up and down the court, it's JCU. And they even built his voice into it. Like, you know, like, let me hear you clap your hands. It's like Jay-Z cut from different songs, and it just makes up that phrase.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's just like, it's so overdone.
I will tell you, last night watching the game, it started out with, like, a soliloquy by Khalid Kweli about Brooklyn and about the struggles of Brooklyn. And it was like a 5-minute little speech.
In the stadium?
No, like during ESPN. And then it was like, and then watching the pregame show tonight, they have a new segment brought to you by some stupid company called Where Brooklyn At. It's like, it's so phony. You got these, like, where's Brooklyn at? Is Brooklyn in the house?
First, it's pretty cool. It's so cheap. They go over down the court and you hear like Biggie music and you're like, it's cool. First, like 5-10 minutes, but then all of a sudden it's just like, it's all you hear.
I got it, yeah. I
like,
get it.
Okay, you know, enough is enough.
We get it, Brooklyn. You're now in Brooklyn. Start winning basketball games. Stop losing to the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
I guess there was a promo where they were showing, like, all the fans of each team, and, like, every person was, like, sneering. You know, like, it's like, come on, it's a basketball game.
Yeah, exactly.
Very dark.
Yeah, I was not a big fan.
I feel like kids are not allowed in that stadium.
Outside, yeah.
Outside, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Subway dropped you off right in front of the stadium. You're in the subway and you're walking towards, like, to go upstairs, all you can see is the stadium from the stadium. It's insane. It, like, overtakes the entire subway.
Yeah.
The exit ramp, and then you get out, and it's like, outside is very, it's very nice, but inside is just...
Well, I'll give my report on it as a Nets fan next week when I go. I'm going with my father. They're playing the Pistons. God help us if they lose to the Pistons. All right, at UConn's own Andre Drummond, I'll probably torch him. He stinks. So that'll be what that goes with. But, you know, the other 5 minutes, we talked about the Rays Royal trade. I think it was a little crazy. O defended it with me on Facebook. I don't know. I think it's a little crazy for the Royals to give up what they gave up for Wade Davis, who was relegated to the bullpen last year. He's another guy with a 4 ERA for his career. And James Shields, give up all your prospects for that. I don't know. They believe they could win this year in the Central.
I feel like if you're an agent for these guys, like I just say, it's like, oh, just a change of scenery, you'll do them well.
I hate to say these days.
Yeah.
He doesn't really do well down in the humid, Floridian environment.
Yeah.
But in Kansas City, you know, he likes flat plains.
He'll do really well against that Detroit Tiger lineup. They don't got many bats in that lineup.
Yeah,
sure. Thrillingly there. We talked about the Zach Greinke deal, a little crazy. And about really the...
Literally crazy.
Yeah, well, you said I didn't. I don't want the cell tower to go down. But we'll finish up with the Heisman. You know, a lot... And I'm an ND fan. A lot of ND fans were really hoping for Manti Te'o. I knew it wasn't going to happen. I said, you know, I just had a feeling about Johnny Football. The day of the Heisman, I went on Bovada to see what the lines were. And Manti Te'o was 5-1. the kid from K-State was thanks, sweetie. The kid from K-State was like 13-1. Johnny Football, and I've never seen this kind of line in any kind of prop bet. 1-25. You need to put $2,500 down to win $100. I was like, wow. And like I used to say, like I said, when Libs called in, we were talking about different odds and we were talking about the election. I said, look, Vegas is not wrong. So when they're calling it big time for Obama, they're right.
Yeah.
25-1, like 1-25 is going to win. He's going to win. I was like, it's not even worth putting money on any of these. I don't care what it is. You don't even see that in a fight, like a lopsided fight, a Tyson fight back in the day. Didn't see those kind
of. He's got, I have to say this, he's got the face of a, like, a grizzled UFC veteran. Like, he just had been punched his whole life in his face, and he has an absolute 11 for a girlfriend.
Yeah?
You seen his girlfriend?
No.
Google Sarah Savage.
Of course she's off the chart. Of course he's got a hot girlfriend. Why wouldn't he have a hot girlfriend? Well,
now I'm going to start punching myself in the face until I get a hot girlfriend.
Now they're talking about, you know, because he redshirted, he could actually come out after next year. Because 3 years removed from high school, he's not going to be a good pro. He's 5'10".
Ouch. Well, I'll see you in 2 years.
In 2 years, Johnny Football. Well, thanks for tuning in. Sorry for the technical difficulties we had. We figured with our producer back in studio, we wouldn't have those. But tune us in next week, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock every week for the Tri-State Sports Guys. See ya.
Wow.